He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Indeed, we continue in the season of Easter, where we celebrate the one who came into the world for our sakes. In my community at the Church of Steadfast Love and Compass Housing Alliance, I have been talking during this season about relationship, because we like to have a theme for our church year calendar, and we don't have all the colors and things to kind of alert people to what's going on. So we've been talking about relationship, and that's a really strong word for us. But I use that word during this season because that's why Jesus came into the world, right? To draw us back into relationship with God. And that is really what abundant life is all about. And we know that Jesus is the gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's through him that we find our life. The entryway for most of us here probably was what? I put you on the spot this morning. Baptism. Yay, you guys are good. This is a 5-star congregation here. Baptism. Because what? We were put to death and raised to new life in the waters of baptism. That's how we come to our Lord and Savior. And many of us were probably raised in the Lutheran Church, so we were baptized as infants, and we don't really remember what that was like. My congregation does not have that same heritage. I say Martin Luther, and they say, what? Or I have one guy that goes like this, la 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 la, whenever I say Martin Luther, because he's not a Lutheran, and he gets tired of hearing that name. So they sometimes remember their baptisms, or they haven't been baptized yet. And they're coming to learn about Jesus through our community, through relationship, right? People who welcome them to this place and join them in hearing God's word for them. They hear, when they come for communion, "This is my body broken for you. And this is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin." Now, sometimes we can pretend that we don't have sin. I've used this illustration before. You know, I came from a congregation, two congregations in Montana where I lived outside of town, 2 miles, a town of 15 people, 15. And I was really good at pretending like I didn't have sin there. Why? I lived by myself. Who's going to tell you differently? It's so easy to be nice when you don't see anybody for a whole day. I don't know. Now I'm married, so I can tell you that I know that I am a sinful human being, right? I say things I shouldn't. I wish I could take back. I get irritated about silly things. I was doing the adult ed, and I was saying, you know, how he sweeps flicking the dirt up, and I sweep pulling the dirt towards me. Not a big deal, but these little things can really cause. Anyway, it's harder to pretend that we're not sinful human beings when we're in relationship. And it's harder to pretend that we can not do it. I mean, we pretend that we can do it all by ourselves, right? We don't need anybody else. But the truth is, we do need other people. We need a community to forgive us, to love us, to demonstrate what grace is, to share their own gifts and interests so that we become more the people that we were intended to be. Arletta will tell you a choir is not made up of one person, right? We need everybody's voice to join in the chorus of praising this our God. This community of believers we heard about in the text of Acts, they were teaching and fellowship and sharing and meals and lifting up prayers, and people were coming to find out what this was all about. Because they were seeing joy. People are wanting to find out, why are these folks so happy? Has life gotten substantially better for them? Do they have something they didn't have before? The only thing that had changed was that they truly knew whose they were. And the joy erupted. And they could think of nothing else to do than to praise God, which is why we were created. The one and only thing we have to do is praise God. And when we praise Him with our whole beings, with all that we have and all that we are, He's doing it right now, you see? Other people get excited and want a piece of that. God works about bringing our communities together and strengthening them through His word. It's His job. But He plants in our hearts this joy and this love so that we may begin to know Him more fully. I was really drawn to our texts for today and this image of community and of gates and coming and going and hearing the voice of God calling us, no matter where we have strayed or where we have gone, calling us back to Himself and welcoming us in. We will not be lost. He knows we are His. You know, the gate stands open. And the other text I was drawn to, and sometimes it's because it's Psalm 23, our reading for today, it's so common that I just kind of read it and like, yeah, Psalm 23. But I read it and the first verse really caused me to pause in my office this week. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Maybe it was because it convicted me, because there's always things that we do want, but what is intended is here is that we have all that we need. And it is provided for us by another. The things that we need are not always what we think they are. And I think that that's truly one of the blessings about serving as a pastor of the Church of Steadfast Love. Because I'm daily reminded that what we want and what we need are two different things. Right? I always have people coming in and telling me how they never truly felt free until what we consider basically the worst thing ever happened, right? We lose our job, we lose our house, we lose our possessions, we lose everything. Everything we thought was what made life valuable, made life good. And it turns out that wasn't what made life good. It's like decoration. What we need is love. What we need is community. What we need is forgiveness. What we need is mercy. It's also freeing because we discover that God really does provide what we need. He provides it through community and in surprising and startling ways. I have this one guy in my congregation who just has been housed. He's been homeless basically since he was a teenager. And he's older than I am, so I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I've got white hairs up here. Says, I can carry everything I have, and I always have everything I need. I think I need something, and God provides it. I needed a place that understood me. And I walked into your office, and you invited me to church. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't actually expect anybody's going to show up for church. If everybody came to church who told me they were coming to church, I need a bigger church. But he's come. He's been coming now for 6 years. And he has lots and lots of things that get in his way. He has mental illness. He has addiction to just about everything. He has struggles with anger because his family hasn't treated him the way he thought they should. He's moved from place to place to place because he lives outside and he can. The only consistent thing in his life has been our church. And so he comes and he praises God and he receives from God what God only can truly give. Because we can love him, but we're not perfect. And we can forgive him. Sometimes it's hard. But God always forgives him and always loves him and always welcomes him in again and again and again. And you know what? This God came for him just as he is. Flawed and broken and damaged. Just the same way he came for each and every one of you. Just as you are. And he calls you by name. And he says, come. Come and break bread together. And remember who you are because of whose you are. Be strengthened and forgiven in this meal as the very body of Christ. And then go forth out into this world to live so that people will wonder about your joy and will realize that just by how you're living, that he is risen. He is risen indeed.